something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Conversations on life, style, beauty, and relationships. It's the Velvet's Edge podcast with Kelly Henderson.
Jackson Hightower helps men reclaim their vitality, confidence, and purpose through private coaching, online courses, and herbal supplements. Jackson provides the tools and guidance men need to optimize their health, performance, and pleasure. And he is here today with us. Hi, Jackson.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Great to be here.
I have been following your Instagram for a minute, and so I was so happy to find you because you're really stepping into this men's health, sexual mastery world. And you talk a lot about sexual mastery. Can you tell us what that is?
I can. So sexual mastery really, you know, we grow up and we don't have a lot of guidance in the area of our sexual health, our sexual anatomy, sexual dynamics, like how to connect with partners and things like that. We get a lot of our information from porn, you know, young kids growing up, and that's all they really have access to. And so if you want to be really good at something, usually you take education courses, readings, books, whatever it may be. We tend to do that if you're going to become a doctor, if you're going to become a lawyer, you know, sort of professional things like that. We don't spend a lot of time really diving into this particular area because of, you know, religion and society and propriety and all the reasons why we don't get into it. So when I think of that term, you know, it's almost like an art form, right? Like your capacity to like be intimate, make love, connect with another human. It's one of the most beautiful things on the planet.
Right.
That's like why we're here almost, right? Is to be able to experience that. And so when I think of sexual mastery, I think of like, how can we create an environment where we are learning more about these things and it's totally okay in our culture so that you can become really proficient, right, at connecting in an intimate way? You know, that's really what it comes down to. So like the physical practices, but also like the before, the during, the after, right, of those sexual experiences. So sexual mastery to me is just, you know, anyone who's an incredible artist or a performer or an athlete, right, they have mastery over their craft. And I'm really focusing on like, how do we help guys get better and master more of their own sexual energy, but also those experiences with when they are intimate with their partners.
You mentioned the before, the during, and the after. Mm-hmm. So are they all connected and how so?
So before would be considered like the foreplay, you know, the during is obviously the interaction, and then the after is the aftercare. So we're not really, you know, we learn a lot about like the act, but we don't learn a lot about the before the act and then after the act. And those are actually, in my opinion, more important to creating a really harmonious and like safe environment when you are in an intimate experience. And so, you know, if you ask the young guys like about foreplay, I don't really think that they know much about it or what to do or how long it takes or how long they should be focused on it or, you know, the moves and the dynamics that they should have in those experiences. And so part of like the teaching is about like, how do you have a holistic experience through your sex? It's not just the act and the release. It's how are you before through your actions and your words, how are you during, and then how are you after? Mm. So it's really creating almost like this curriculum, right, for you know, young men, and not necessarily young men, but any man who wants to really dive into it more, to understand that this is not just about you having an experience and quickly getting off, mm-hmm. right? It's much broader than that, right? So that's my goal, is to continue to educate and share and provide a different perspective for men, so that takes them out of like the typical, like, this is what I've done, this is what I've learned. Well, let's unlearn a lot, right? Mm-hmm. And then let's refocus our energy into creating a much more harmonious experience.
You also mentioned porn, which I'm just going to dive right in.
Let's do it.
Well, because I talk about this a lot on the podcast, that I feel like men often are looking at that as the only way to learn about sex. I mean, it's kind of all that's out there. The way we have it set up now, there's not really good sexual education. Mm-hmm. And I know your story kind of started with the porn addiction stuff, mm-hmm. and it maybe jolted you into being like, wait, there has to be something different. So can you tell the listeners a little bit about that story and why it propelled you to start learning something new?
Yeah, so I agree. My particular experience was, I knew that I was watching it more often than I should have.
Okay.
I wouldn't say that I was a full-blown addict, mm-hmm. But I was watching it in place of opportunities where I should have been more intimate with my partner.
Okay.
And I had the awareness. I was like, okay, like, this is probably not a good thing.
Yeah.
What's going on here?
Yeah.
I ended up going to this, you know, this retreat where I was like taking some time for myself and like looking into what was going on in my life at that time. It was a lot of transitions professionally, personally, et cetera. And I had some really amazing insights about the power of your own life force, right? When like the release, like
yeah.
the ejaculate, like what is that to a man? And I realized that every time I was watching, you know, porn and doing that instead of finding a way to like actually connect with my partner at the time, it was taking away my energy, right? And it was using that energy in a way that wasn't serving our relationship. And at that point, it was August 8th, 2014. Okay. I said like, cold turkey, I'm done. I'm stopping, like no more. And so what I've learned over the last, you know, year or so of working with guys and seeing DMs that come in, you know, to my inbox, is that most men, that's one of their only outlets for sexual intimacy, we'll call it, which is not really real sexual intimacy, but it's a sexual act that they're viewing. It teaches all the wrong moves. And it also is harming their physiological systems, right? The dopamine reward response pathway. The way that porn affects your brain, and there's studies on this, is that it's kind of like the way heroin affects your brain, right? You seek this like dopamine rise. And as the dopamine rises, as men are in those intense experiences, getting ready to release, then what happens is the dopamine falls and it crashes when they do release. And you get into this lethargic state post, you know, ejaculation.
Okay.
But what happens as a man is that you get used to that level of dopamine that it gets to. And so if the porn becomes boring or less novel or whatever it is, you're going to need more and more intense experiences while watching and viewing to get that high, because you're chasing that high again, right? It's not as intense as heroin, but it's the same pathways. And so when you are watching, you know, pornographic material and that hardcore video nature, your dopamine gets triggered, right? It's like, what's the quickest way to pleasure? That's what dopamine really asks us.
You know?
So if a guy's hungover, or he's depressed, or he's upset, or he's lonely, or whatever it is, he's going to, like, the body says, what's the quickest way to pleasure? And he goes, well, watching that hardcore visceral nature of porn. And so they're going to go watch it. But what happens is, if that dopamine reward response pathway, if that dopamine level is really high, and they're used to that being really high, when they're with a person, often what times happens is the experience with that person is never really as intense as the porn that they're watching, because porn is usually quite hardcore. And I'm talking about general porn. Obviously, there's some intimate porn that's a different category, more artful. But like the porn that most guys are watching is like hardcore, fast, quick, etc. So they're developing a tremendous amount of sexual dysfunction as a result of being habituated to seeing this particular style of porn, right? And then when they're with the person, it doesn't get that high, so they can't get a hard on.
Mm.
So it's creating, it's called porn-induced erectile dysfunction in guys that are in their 20s. Which never used to happen before, right?
Yeah,
and it's more of a mental thing than a physiological thing, because as a guy in a 20, physiologically is fine, but it's the way that the brain chemistry changes. And porn actually, the hardcore video, quick video nature of porn actually creates neuroplastic changes in the brain. Neuroplastic changes like the brain's actually changing its structure based on what it's watching. Back in the 50s and 60s, like porn was a static image, like right. Playboy.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
It's a static
magazine,
image. Like you look right. at the image and you're like, okay, great. And now think about what we have. We have TikTok, we have Instagram, we have all these boomerangs, we have these video shots. And then we have, you know, obviously like the massive, you know, 100-something billion-dollar industry of porn.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot, you know, it's a lot that guys are faced with. And, you know, I always ask women, like, how do you know if a guy watches porn? She says, by the way, that he has sex with me.
Oh, 100%. Yes.
You know?
It's so true.
Yeah.
I'm kind of stuck on the fact that guys are saying to you, well, that's how I get intimacy or whatever. Are they in relationships or is this a man that's single? Like,
both.
Really?
Yeah. It's pretty rampant. I mean, 35% of all internet downloads are porn.
Wow.
17 of the top 100 internet sites are porn sites. So it's one of the biggest industries in the world. And whether you're in a relationship, often guys are still watching it because it's addictive. It's a mm-hmm. serious disease, right? But you can't see it,
mm-hmm.
right? It's not like alcoholism or drug addiction or anything like that. Like when you are addicted to porn, it's hidden, it's private. The only way that anyone can really know if that you're addicted is by looking at your search history,
right.
or your partner like feels like the way that you're having sex with them is kind of like the way they do in porn. It's very kind of like, you know, you're trying to do all these crazy moves and it's performative and it doesn't feel intimate or connected. So, but it's happening to everyone across the board, relationship or no relationship.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense to me because even in my Instagram, you know, there's the two inboxes that you have that you can see, but if you go into that, I can't remember what the purgatory place is, the place where people who you haven't messaged with
primary
yet.
General and then request or something.
Yeah,
like that.
I mean, yeah. I get the dirtiest things sent to me in that inbox, you know. And so I'm thinking, if I'm getting this, I can't imagine how they target men so much higher. And then yeah. So it's like everywhere you look, which to me is case in point of the chemical nature of like that whole thing, that the people that are making it know that, and
oh,
so
yeah.
they're playing on like into our brains that way.
Yeah, yeah, they know it, and then they make more and more intense experiences in the porn, right? So, you know, hetero porn, and then you move into much more. I mean, I could go the list, but
right.
like, you know, anyway, it's wild, and they know that, and they make it that way
mm-hmm.
Because they need to have the eyeballs, right?
Yeah.
And so it's like we need guys to watch this for 8 to 10 minutes, you know, potentially multiple times per day. I mean, I have guys who are telling me like they watch porn 4 times a day,
mm.
and that's 20-year-olds. It's also 65-year-olds.
Yeah.
You know, that's a lot of time to be watching porn and also
so
like
time consuming, seriously,
massively time consuming, and yeah. also releasing and all that life force that you're releasing.
Right.
Like people don't take that into account. You know, when you're younger, okay, but when you're older, like not so much.
Okay. Well,
not a great idea.
You've mentioned life force a couple times, so let's mm-hmm. talk about that a little okay. bit, because I hear you in your content on Instagram saying that about men, like you don't want to just release your life force. So what is that? What does that even mean? And how is it so powerful?
Okay. So in its simplest term, your semen
mm-hmm.
as a man can create a child.
Right.
That's what okay. its original purpose is, right?
Now it that is, you broke it down, it feels like a really dumb question.
No. It's important. And
because I'm like, right, exactly.
It's,
okay.
Explaining it in its like most simplest terms is actually like critical to the whole purpose
okay.
of, you know, because this is about reframing conversation.
Yeah.
So a semen creates life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The energy that you develop as a man in your nuts when you are engaging in a sexual experience, it's physiologically moving. The semen is moving up from the testicles into the vas deferens and into the urethra, etc. There's also energy that is created in that experience. And so when you release, you're releasing physical substance,
mm-hmm.
ejaculate, you are also releasing energy.
Okay.
And so if you are in a sexual experience and you cultivate that energy, right, you start, you know, getting more and more turned on and et cetera. And then you can feel the energy being created as you're getting further along in your sexual experience.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't release it out. What can you do with that energy, right? So the energy that's created what they talk about in a lot of like Taoist and like sort of semen retention practices, I call it edging, is like you actually take that energy and you move it through your own body so that you're not releasing it out. So if this is like science and like, you know, if semen can create life mm-hmm. and the energy that's created is really powerful. Mm-hmm. And if you don't actually release it out, but you take it in, what can that energy do for you? Right? It keeps you more focused. It keeps you more creative, right? It's creative life force. You're creating life. So what I share with guys is like, look, that energy is like, it, there isn't like an infinite amount of it, right? That is like your life force in like the, in you know, ancient Chinese culture. Like they're like, there's a certain amount of energy that you have. And if you're consistently dissipating it, watching porn all day, right? That energy is going out of you, mm. right? And that's energy that can't really be, you know, recollected, essentially. So I'm shifting the conversation of like, well, what would happen if you didn't let go of that energy? What would happen if you kept that energy inside you? Mm-hmm. And so you look at people in history, you know, Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, like a lot of fighters, right? You talk about like not coming before their fights.
Oh, really?
I don't know if you've heard about this.
No, I haven't.
It's pretty common. If you're, and so that's another way that I try to explain it to guys. I'm like, if a fighter is not ejaculating before his fight, mm-hmm. explain to me why. He wants to have the most amount of energy and vitality and drive so that he can win the fight, right? So if the hormones and the energy that is released in your body and outside of your body when you ejaculate are going to cause you to be less vital, so to mm-hmm. speak, right? You can apply that. It's not a fight. Every day isn't a fight, but like every day is a new day of life. What could you put that towards? Your business. You could put that towards your own health. You could put that towards a creative endeavor. You could put that towards your relationship, right? So there are a lot of like pretty famous, influential people in the past and also currently who have practiced this. It's been around for a long time because they understand the power of the creative energy that you have inside you. And so if you're not going to try to have a kid, right, which is what our intention is with, mm-hmm. with you know, sex or one of the responses with it. And, you know, but you can use that and you actually are like cultivating that energy and then using it for other things. So that's, I guess, the long-winded way of explaining it. But like, that's the general premise is that there's energy and you're not releasing it and you're cultivating it inside you so that you remain okay. powerful, vital, driven, focused.
Yeah.
Similarly, like when, you know, you have sex with a man, he ejaculates. How does he change?
He wants to go to sleep.
Sleepy puppy.
Yeah.
Right? So prolactin is a hormone that's released in the body. So it's like when women are lactating, they have mm-hmm. prolactin mm-hmm. that goes through the breasts. The children are drinking the breast milk. The children become tired because okay. they have more prolactin from the breast milk.
Right.
So prolactin is released in the vast majority of men's bodies after they ejaculate. Prolactin makes you lethargic, satiated, content, tired, and it completely ruins any form of libido. Mm. So, you know, that's sort of what we're getting at is like, are you able to can you not have that happen, mm-hmm. right? And what would you be able to do in your life if you weren't tired and lethargic and, you know, disconnected, right? Not only are you not connected with the woman that you just had sex with,
right.
but like, what other things are you sort of like, you don't have that gust, that like drive and that, you know, zest for life, mm-hmm. right? I know that when I practice retention and I'm intimate with a woman, I'm connected, I'm available, I'm ready, I can go again, you know, relatively quickly afterwards. I'm present, I'm available, and I also know how I feel when I do choose to release. Mm-hmm. And it's just a different feeling. So it's not necessarily my fault because the hormones are doing their thing. But it's a pretty powerful difference. Very powerful difference. And it allows me to have more energy for whatever it is that I want to do in my life.
Right.
You know?
Okay, I want to talk about the details of how to do that in a second, which is interesting. But I want to know first, this just came to me. It has to be different for women though, right? Because we're correct. Taught almost the opposite. Mm-hmm. Like if we are getting to the place of release, that it opens up our life force.
Exactly.
Okay.
Very different.
Okay, well, can you talk through that a little bit?
Yeah, so in my teachings, I have learned, and you know, there's various opinions upon this, and I'm not a woman, so I've never had all the different types of orgasms, but yeah. I've learned about them. There are some orgasms which are more like male orgasms, clitoral,
right?
And then there's some orgasms which are much deeper, you know, vaginal, G-spot, A-spot, etc. It's my, what I've learned in the teachings is that an orgasm is like life force energy for a female, mm-hmm. and it creates an entirely new sort of way of being for her.
Yeah.
And that she should have orgasmic energy flowing through her regularly.
Right.
So that being said, that's where I get into like, guys, focus on the woman first. You're going to get off. It's really mm-hmm. easy.
Yeah.
But like focus on the woman and like creating an environment where she has the capacity to achieve an orgasm. And then you'll focus on yourself afterwards.
Yeah.
But yes, women generally speaking have an opposite effect as men. Men lose their life force energy and women gain it.
Isn't that some shit? That is some universe stuff right there. It's like so much harder for women to orgasm uh-huh. or to get to that place. So much easier for a man, but it's really like the opposite effect when
right.
you do it.
Right.
Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about edging then, because you've brought that up mm-hmm. and I've heard it said semen retention. Is that the same thing? Semen
yeah,
retention
it's the, and it's edging? The same. It's okay. the same general principle is that it's a practice of non-ejaculation.
Okay.
Semen retention is more like you're not masturbating, you're not doing it with a partner, you're just not releasing at all.
Mm-hmm.
And edging is more like when you're in the actual sexual experience, that you can do sort of like breathing techniques and physical holds of the muscles in your body, your PC muscle, to actively not release.
Okay.
And so that's generally how it works. So it's as a man, from 0 to 10, if you had a scale from 0 to 10, 10 is, you know, full release. You ejaculated. Mm-hmm. 0 is you're flaccid. So there's a point I call it like the magic 8, which is, you're in your sexual experience, you're getting more and more turned on, your dopamine's going up and up and up. And, you know, you get to that 8 out of 10, right? Which is like, you're really close. And men know, like, as soon as they're like, it hits this trigger, they cannot not come. Right. And so
yeah.
if they go past the 8 out of 10,
yeah.
they got to release.
Right.
So the practice of edging is to learn like where you sit in that spectrum, right? As you go through these experiences of where you need to stop and pause. And you do these breathing techniques, et cetera, that I have in one of my programs. And you stop there and you sort of pause the experience so that you can then move yourself back to a 7, to a 6, to a 5, and then hover at that other plateau and then build yourself up again.
Okay.
So the experience is so that if you go past the eight out of a 10, you are going to come, and you probably have to come at that point because there's too much stuff that's built up and you want it to get out of you, right?
Okay.
So if it's before the 8 and you can cultivate that energy inside you, then you can remain in the experience. You can have more time for her to experience pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a moment of kind of like slowing and
right.
pausing. And it's difficult because we're trained as a culture. It's like fast, hard sex is good.
Well, that's what porn teaches you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. And so, when a woman says like harder, 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 men generally go faster, 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 or like they're almost approaching climax. It's very difficult to stop.
Mm-hmm.
The most difficult thing in the world for a man to do is to actively not release when he's at the brink. It's so hard to do.
Yeah.
Because it feels so good for that moment.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
So you're basically having to learn your levels, like what is your eight, so that you just become so comfortable identifying that when you're having sex.
Exactly.
So how do people do that?
Well, you do it. I mean, one, you start with yourself.
Yeah.
So you start with self-pleasure.
Okay.
And you work yourself up to a place where you're like, okay, cool, I know where I'm at. And then you do the breathing and practices and the hold.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can do it. What I usually teach is do it with yourself first, then do it with a partner for oral sex. Because it's a much less variables.
Oh, okay, I see.
And also, like, communicate with your partner what you're doing.
What you're trying to learn.
Right, yeah. If you're in a relationship, it's like, hey, I want to try this thing. Let's do this together. Okay. Here's why we're doing it, right? It's a reframing of the entire experience. Mm-hmm. And then the last part is doing it during sex. Because during oral sex, she's not in the experience really with you in the same way.
Right.
Right? There's sort of like, she's giving the man
she's
pleasure.
Working. No, I'm
right.
Just
she's doing, yes, she's true. She's, and so I say, like, start with yourself, learn how to do it, learn where you're at, work on, with oral sex, and then start doing it in an intimate experience.
Okay.
And so I get a lot of feedback back, like, from women and, men, like, well, why would I do that? And again, my whole goal is like, let's reframe our experience. What are we doing here?
Mm-hmm.
I know you want to get off. I know that it feels really good. I've been there. Like, I'm a guy.
Mm-hmm.
But what would happen if you came 20% less, right? What would happen if you came 35% less, right? What would that do for your life? And actually trying it for a couple weeks, months, et cetera, and seeing how it goes. Because it's not something you pick up right away.
Right.
You know what I mean? It takes time.
Mm-hmm.
And also the reframing of why you're doing it, right? Like, you have to actually get it and want to do it. You have to believe that, like, okay, cool. Like, I know how I feel after I come. Well, what would happen if I didn't feel that way, but I still had a great experience, but I went without that little, like, momentum, that little moment of ejaculation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, it feels good for about 10 seconds. I mean, if you're really good, it feels good for like a minute or so.
Yeah.
And you can elongate it. And then the woman usually comes to me like, I feel badly if I don't make him come.
That was such the feedback that I got from people when I started talking about your content. And women would say, how do I get over though, like, if my partner's not coming, how do I know he's happy or satisfied? And the mental aspect of that, because we so equate orgasm to satisfying sex.
100%. Yeah. So it's like turning a cruise ship, right? Like, this isn't something that's like, oh, great, everyone's going to get it. Women have a lot of value associated with making their man come.
Exactly.
Because that's what we're taught.
Right.
By watching porn and sort of like the dynamic that we have in our culture, sexually right now. And what I find most interesting is if people are willing to give something a different chance, to give something a different way, and they're like, okay, let's try this, see what this feels like, right? You're going to bumble and stumble at first. It's not like it's just quick and easy, You both have to want to do it. But if the women had less value associated with that and more sort of like, what is the journey of our sexual experience together? Like, what are we trying to achieve together?
Right.
We want to achieve pleasure. We want to achieve connectedness. We want to achieve intimacy. We want to, push the boundaries of what we can explore together, and having less value associated with like, well, if I don't make him come, then who am I? Right?
Totally.
Like, that's a total mind F,
Right.
Like, to most people.
Yes.
And, most guys are like, I want to get off.
Yeah.
And I get that. So this isn't for everyone,
but,
what I try to share is like, it's a really powerful way to like totally elevate your sexual experience to another, to like the sexual mastery level, where it's like you can really start art directing your sexual experiences and, you know, paying more attention to like her pleasure, right? Like there's a major orgasm ratio, like inequality of orgasm that's happening right now in our world.
Wait, what do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, heterosexual females have like the lowest orgasm percentage of I think any type of like heteronormal, you know, like it's just really low.
Yeah, in comparison to how
heterosexual male. Yeah, right. Okay. Like there's like a chart I saw once, which is, and it's like, oh man, that's sad.
Sad, yeah.
So it's about reframing that, but it's also about coming together with your partner and realizing you're both on the same, you're on the same page.
Right.
What are we doing together and what do we want to experience, right? So have the guy needs to be like, cool, I'll try that. I get it, you know, and give it a shot. And then maybe he lasts a lot longer during his experience. Well, what does that do for her, right?
Then she can actually have an orgasm.
Yeah, and that may make her a totally different human.
The other interesting thing I was just thinking as you were talking about the mental aspect with women is I think somewhere, and I don't know if any women listening are identifying with this, but somewhere along the line, we have been taught that if a man is, if we're having great sex and the man's having great orgasms, then in some way we're safe and in like a power position, or we're like, we're not going to lose that man. Do you know what I mean? But in reality, what you're talking about, actually, if you were going to go into that together with your partner, that's a, such a more connected, intimate kind of relationship and like sexual dynamic that probably would solidify security in a relationship more.
Yeah.
So can you talk a little bit about that? Like, that's something I didn't even think about happening in our culture.
It's interesting. So, and I haven't really thought about what you said earlier, was that like a woman needs to make sure that her man is taken care of in order to feel safe in the relationship, right? That he won't be seeking that elsewhere.
Because they can just pick up their phone and find it.
Yeah, no, that's true. So we're moving into, I mean, what the goal is, like, we're moving into a much more evolved state of sexual awareness and sexual dynamics with our partners and with ourselves. And, you know, we've seen this rise of like the female sexual health movement, right? And like my goal is really like to really empower men to think about things in a different way. But, you know, it takes a more evolved couple, or a couple that's really conscious, like, okay, cool, like, let's give this a shot so we can see how this feels. The man needs to understand that his release is better served not being released as often as it is, right?
Okay.
That's like, that's where the man has to get to. He has to say, okay, cool, I'm going to try this. And if he, and if he's down, right, he may experience some, so he says, okay, cool. There's people in the past who are super, you know, intellectual, you know, world changers or whatever, who've done this. Why are they doing it? Mm-hmm. Right? There's got to be a reason. Why do fighters do this? Right? Like, there's got to be a reason. Well, what if I, you know, apply this in my life 20% of the time more? They have to buy in some capacity and give it a shot. And then once they get there, they'll know, oh, wait, if I keep my seat in, I'm a much more powerful man.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Being a powerful man doesn't mean you're released. And right. And also, like, if you're, if, because like when you have a sexual experience with a woman and she knows how to do this with you, it's 100 times better.
Okay, well, talk about that then.
Yeah,
tell them, because I'm sure there's men listening who are like, are you serious, dude? You're telling me not to come?
It's so much better because you are both, you both have different drivers for what it is that you're doing, and the goals are different. You're reframing the experience together. So you have more pleasure. You know, she's orgasming, which, you know, again, some guys want their partner to orgasm and some guys don't necessarily think about it all that much. And what I'm encouraging guys is like, hey, guys, we should think
like
about this more.
Like, it just doesn't cross men's mind? Seriously?
Some of them not. Some
that
of them are just like,
sad.
I want to get off. And by the way, like, there's a time and a place for a guy just like, yo, I need to get off.
Yeah.
And like, that's okay too. So it's not an all the time thing. People ask me like, how often do I do this? You do it as often as you want. You do it as often as it makes sense for your relationship. I don't do it all the time.
Yeah.
You know? If you're having an insane time and she's about to come and so you don't want to stop, then just keep going and have that experience together. But there's a time and a place for practicing this type of stuff, right? It's like, again, if sexual intimacy can be a form, like an art form, right? Or where we have a sport, right? You're practicing different aspects of it. Well, it's like, let's try this. Let's not be so one-dimensional.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do the missionary position. I'm going to come. You're not. And then we're done.
Right.
It's just boring.
Yeah.
Like, can we expand our capacity to feel more, right? To try different things, to put ourselves in situations that are outside of our comfort zone a little bit, right? to push ourselves physically. That's like, and again, as I said, the hardest thing for a guy to do is to actively not release, right? How much discipline does a guy gain from that? And what discipline can he take into his life, mm-hmm. right? If he can do that regularly, like where he's going to get the most intense burst of pleasure that he's able to experience as a human, if he's able to hold off on that, what can he do in his business? What can he do in his personal life? What can he do? I mean, there's just so many things that that applies to. So it creates an incredible amount of like self-discipline, right? It's like same thing as getting in a cold plunge. Mm-hmm. It's not fun getting in a cold plunge. No. Anyone who says it's fun is lying. But it allows you to elevate your capacity to be a human. And if you're doing difficult things regularly, you're going to get better at life. Mm-hmm. Things are going to affect you less. So that's really what it's about. It's about like, how can we level up in this regard as men, you know, and continue to push ourselves to elevate beyond some of the traditional norms that we have.
Yeah.
To experience like, and again, you know, when you're in a longer sexual experience with a woman and she's orgasming and you're cultivating that energy up, you feel high. You get high. It's not the same feeling as a release, but it's much more in your head. It's much more powerful up here. And that's, you know, when you learn how to do it properly, it's potent, super potent.
It's so the opposite of the way our culture is wired right now, though, because we are so instant gratification, right? So the things that we do, we want to feel right then.
Yeah.
And so this is kind of going back to an old school mentality, almost like, I mean, I was going to say cavemen, but maybe not that far, but a long time ago where you had to work for things. And then when you did get them, it was so much more satisfying
exactly. Because
you built up to it.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I completely agree. But when you taste it and when you experience it, like you're like, oh, wait, okay, I get it. Mm-hmm. And that's all it takes is that one time, because then you have that personal experience with it and you're like, okay, great. Let's, you know, because again, you know, we live in this culture of fast and quick and, you know, but that's just sort of what we're shown via social media and mm-hmm. via the internet and all this sort of stuff. Like nothing really like gets really good that quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when people are building their, I sold this company. Well, it took him 10 years.
Right. You just didn't see all the
work. You just didn't see any of the struggles and the challenges before he became popular and was on podcasts and doing this and doing that.
Like
there's always a growth, right? Like nothing that's really good happens immediately, you know? And that's my challenge to guys. I'm like, cool, let's push ourselves a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, let's like take things to the next level. Let's try something new. Let's reframe our experiences so that, again, if we're having better sex as a culture, I think everything is improved.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Everything improves.
Yeah.
You know, business decisions, personal decisions, societal decisions. Like, it's one of the best things that we have the experience to have as a human, right? And a lot of us aren't really even touching, like, we're scratching the surface on what's possible, you know? And I think that there's significant room for improvement.
Mm.
And more pleasure and more joy and more fun, you know, with that.
Yeah.
You know,
I think that's so true because I was thinking that women are now being taught to lean in. We've had the opposite of men for so long, like sex was shameful. You weren't supposed to do it before you were married. I mean, we're in the South, but just all of these different programming things that we have that y'all don't have, it's kind of the opposite.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting that it almost, if you're getting into a place of wanting to grow your sexual experience, for us, it's to lean into pleasure and like mm-hmm. lean into receiving.
Yeah.
And for y'all, it's more about discipline
mm-hmm.
and harnessing. I know you use that word, harnessing your sexual energy.
Yeah.
So you have more power over it.
Yeah. The internal alchemy, right? That harnessing of that energy. Like what I've realized is that most men don't have a really healthy connection to their own sexual energy. And so if you don't have, because they're watching porn, they're ejaculating way too regularly, they're just not necessarily connected in a healthy way, right? You
mm-hmm.
have to have a healthy connection, right? Between here, and down there. And so if you don't have a healthy connection with your own sexual energy, how are you going to be able to take that into a partnership? I just don't think you can.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's why we see so many partnerships where there's lackluster sex or there's challenge sex or there's, you know, cheating or infidelity or whatever it may
mm-hmm.
be, right? If you don't have a healthy connection to your own body with your own discipline and your own internal alchemical, like, you know, alchemy is just like the mixing of energies. Like, if you don't have that, I don't think that you can have it anywhere else. And so what I really teach, and especially when I'm working one-on-one with guys, is like, let's focus on you first, right? How often are you watching porn, right? How often are you masturbating, what are you doing with your day? What, like, what do you, like, map out your hours of your day. How are you spending your time? You know, 8 hours of sleep, 8 hours of work, 8 hours of other, right? Like, what are you doing, mm-hmm. right? Are you masturbating to porn 4 times a day for an hour or 2 hours or whatever it may be? Can you think of something better to do with your time,
right?
Can you cultivate and put that energy into something else? And so if you develop healthier connections with that energy and you start to really, you know, a lot of the other stuff I do, which is like teaching guys how to, you know, connect with their members, right? They connect with their sex centers in a way that isn't masturbatory, you know, like females have like, you know, yoni exercises, yeah. vaginal exercises yeah. that you're doing, like whatever. There's stuff that guys can do where it's like, let's actually cultivate a healthy connection down there. You know, it's like the gym for your
Kegels.
Kegels is one of them. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you can do physical manipulations. You can do Kegels.
Men can do Kegels too.
Oh, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Kegels is actually the best exercise that men can do for their sexual health.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's super potent. It helps with erectile dysfunction. It helps with premature ejaculation and also helps with prostate health, you know, which is a big one for men where men are also concerned about prostate, but it's, like the Kegels are massively important. Massively important. And so, yeah, I have a whole program where I teach guys like 9 different variations of the exercise with breathing routines and stuff like that. And you can do Kegels like sitting here. I'm doing Kegels right now.
Oh my God.
Like, you can't even see I'm doing it.
Well, now I am too.
You know, so like you can do them anywhere. It's just about like making the time to do it. Most men don't have a strong pelvic floor. And if you don't have a strong pelvic floor, you're not going to get as much circulation. You're not going to have as much erectile function, or you're not going to have as good erectile function. And you're also not going to be able to control your release. Mm. So it's like that movement, right, of like that squeezing movement enables guys to hold off on the release.
Yeah.
And so if you can get that muscle stronger, right, and you know, you train it, you can see differences in 3 or 4 weeks and how long you can last and your ability to get a better erectile quality.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
So that's what you would say, I would feel like, with all of this stuff that I feel like a lot of the men might be listening to, being like, this sounds so terrible. Like, why am I going to put myself through this? I like the way things are. You know, I'm really, like, I'm getting off every time I have sex and all this stuff. How do you change the narrative in the male mind from one of restriction to one of ultimately more pleasure?
So it's really about, you know, reframing. Like, what does that word restriction mean, right? And if you're a guy and you practice a sport or you have a discipline or you're a business person, like, there's always discipline in everything, right? There's
sure.
restriction, so to speak. But when you follow that discipline path, usually for a long period of time, you have a tremendous amount of sex and a tremendous amount of success in whatever field that you're in, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, for men, the way I would you know, challenge that is, you only sort of know one way, and there's a lot of other ways, right? And so if you're really wed to this specific thing that you think is good for your life, how is your partner experiencing her pleasure, right? Do you care about your partner experiencing her pleasure or not, right? What would it do for you if your partner was getting more and more orgasms? Like, are you a man that actually successfully, like, knows how to, like, skillfully have sex with a woman, right? Like, all that sort of stuff. It does matter. Men care about their capacity to perform, right? Deep down. They may not say it on the outside, but we want to give our partners pleasure. We just don't necessarily learn the way to do it.
Right.
Right. And so if the way that you've been doing it thus far in your life has resulted in, like, a certain outcome, right? Well, analyze that outcome. Is that actually what you want? Or deep down you're like, oh man, I'd actually really love to be able to, like, skillfully make love to my wife, my partner, my girlfriend, whatever it is, right? And these practices will allow you to do that. And they may be restrictive or disciplined at first, but guys like routine, they like structure, they like discipline. That's what men, or we're very linear in our thought process. So it's like, if you're going to do this, you're going to get this result, right? And it's a very clear line, you know? And so that's what I would say is, like, there's a variety of other ways and other paths. So you have to analyze where you're at and, like, look at it objectively as possible and then say, okay, cool, maybe I'll try something different. And then you expand your capacity in your life, right? And you expand your capacity of knowledge and wisdom and learning. And then you just have more tools in your toolbox, right? So it's like, if you're just a one-dimensional guy who's doing missionary and getting off, like, super boring. Women don't really want that. Like, and also, like, there's just more for you out there. So I would just say, like, there's much more available for men out there when they start mastering their own sexual energy, their own sexual discipline, because then you become a super powerful guy. You walk into a room and the energy is potent. Everyone can feel it. Women can feel it. Men can feel it.
Yeah,
right.
I believe that.
Like, you've walked into rooms where, like, you see a guy and, like, okay, there's an energy coming from him, right? You know, so personally, like, if I am self-pleasuring and I'm like, you know, before I go out or something like that, and I don't release, but I've cultivated that energy and I bring it up inside, the energy I get from women when I'm out is significantly more than when I release or when I don't do it at all.
I would leave that, like, 100%.
Yeah.
Energy is everything. And people, I feel like we don't talk about that in our culture, but especially as I'm listening to you talk about the buildup and what that would cultivate within you, I could totally see where you would be drawing in just, it's something that matches that vibration if you go out in the world.
Absolutely. You know, it's like, if I didn't self-pleasure, it's neutral. There's no positive or negative, right? And you go out and you're doing your thing. And the energy that you're giving out is the energy that you're giving out. If you cultivate that energy and then you don't release it, that energy is inside you, around you. It's, you know, that's how it works. And so you go out in the world and, like, there's, like, this bubble of, like, powerful energy around you, and, like, people can feel it.
Yeah.
You know, and you can feel it.
Yeah.
You're like, you're more lit. You're more alive.
Yeah.
And then the alternative is, like, you know, you self-pleasure and then you release and you sort of have that, like, and then you go out in the world and it's like, okay.
Does it mean
that people aren't going to be drawn to you? It just means that they're not going to be as drawn to you because you haven't cultivated this, like, powerful energy bubble around you of, like, you know, that's directly correlated to that sexual energy. It's the most powerful energy that exists on the planet.
Yeah.
I would say.
You touched on men not knowing how to please a woman or not being taught. And I often think that also comes from women not knowing how to find pleasure themselves. Mm-hmm. And so I love that we're talking about the self-pleasure aspect, because you're not saying don't do that, but right. you were bringing up maybe the use of porn with it. So mm-hmm. is there ever a time and place for porn for people listening who are like, I don't want to give up my porn completely? Like, yeah. is there any way that you can bring that in to relationships, to your personal life, or and also what about masturbation in general? Like, do you have different, like, what's too much? What's mm-hmm. the right amount to, yeah. to cultivate all of this?
Yeah. So for men mm-hmm. on the porn front, I generally tell guys to stop watching porn altogether. That's like my general rule, because what you're talking about is like a very small percentage of like guys who watch porn once every 4 months and they're with yeah. a partner and it's like, let's have a fun experience. Let's watch right. this and whatever. They're not getting entrained. They're not getting that dopamine stuff. They're not, it's too infrequent, right? What I'm more referring to is like guys that are watching porn 3 or 4 times a day actively,
yeah.
which is a significant amount of the population.
Really?
And this is globally. Like, this is...
Who has time for this? This is what I'm like.
A lot of people.
Don't you guys work?
Remote work culture, you know, it's really God. Easy. Guys on their computers, right? So, on your phones, it's just so... It's like, you look up any website, boom, yeah. got it. And so, that's... My general rule is, like, stop.
Okay.
Because in general, it ain't helping you. Mm-hmm. Every now and then, whatever, if you don't have an issue with it, like... Sure, do your thing. I don't have a problem with that. But what I see is more just like the general population. Mm-hmm. Like, we need to cut it back like significantly. In terms of masturbation for men, masturbation is totally fine. It's part of life. Like, we have energy. We do need to release it sometimes.
Yeah.
There's a sort of like a sliding scale of the frequency of release and like how old you are and what level of health you're in. Right. And so as a young guy, in your teens and your 20s, like you can release 3 times a day and like you still have that energy and that gusto. I mean, I'm not saying that you have to, but like you'll feel you the need to
yeah.
quite regularly.
Yeah.
As you get older, you know, that slowly starts to, like, it goes down and down and down. So it's like, okay, now you can do it once a day. Now you can do it once every 3 days. Now you can do it once every week, right? Actually releasing. It doesn't mean you can't be engaged in sexual activity. It just means the actual release. So 20s and 30s, you know, 20s, it's like 1 or 2 times a day is like okay if you're healthy. 30s, I think it's like once a day. 40s, once every 3 days. 50s, et cetera. So it just keeps going down. And again, this is based off of like this concept of maintaining that energy, the life force energy inside you as much as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Because it gives you life and it enables you to feel a certain way. So if you're getting rid of that energy, again, it's not infinite. So masturbation is totally fine. And I usually just say, like, don't watch porn. You know, you can watch Instagram videos because there's a lot of softcore porn on there anyway nowadays.
Yeah.
Or watch, get like a static image. Or what's best is like use your imagination.
Right.
Because that's going to train you to be able to like visualize things. You'll get more creative. You'll, you know, feel differently about it. And then when you're with a partner, your dopamine response isn't going to be so messed up. Mm. Right. Because you're just thinking about things in your brain. And so that's generally what I say. But like, yeah, it's totally fine to masturbate. Like,
okay.
You know, I'm not like, there's like NoFap communities where I think that the best part about NoFap is, and you know, NoFap is like...
I'm just assuming that means no masturbation.
Means no masturbation, no touching, whatever. I'm not really an advocate of it.
Okay.
Because I think like if you don't use it, you lose it. So you want to like cultivate energy there regularly. But for people who have serious addictions,
mm-hmm.
it's good to do that for like, you know, 60 to 90 days.
Right.
Where like you don't touch it, you're not cultivating it. You're just like, okay, let's get off of this addiction to porn and move into something that's, you know, more healthy. So it's kind of like a bridge, like a gateway. But after it's, you know, out of your system, you know, you should be, you know, cultivating the energy down there. Right. You should be doing exercises. You should be doing Kegels. You should be, you know, you need to put energy towards it so that you know how to use it when you're in a situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you don't ever touch it, you're just like, cool, I hope this guy worked well.
Right.
You know, but like...
Here's to hoping.
Yeah, right? Like...
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Let's talk a little bit about sex with a partner. Mm-hmm. And if you do find yourself in a relationship, or say you're a man that's working towards this, or you're a woman that's been working towards this, and you're together, can you kind of talk listeners through what that kind of sexual relationship can look like? Because I think the only thing we see in our society is the opposite. Like, it's either the porn stuff or it's a dysfunctional relationship. So I don't know that we have these examples of what it could even be.
Yeah. What a healthy sexual dynamic relationship is. Well, you know, I think first of all, sex is the topic that is so programmed in our psyches to either not talk about or be shameful about or be embarrassed about or not want to be vulnerable about, right? So it's really about like creating a safe space to actually have a conversation about your desires. How often do we actually say like, what do you really love, right? In this arena where you're not in the sexual experience, you're actually outside of it. Right. And you're just having a conversation with your partner.
Oh, yeah, we don't.
Right. So one is like actually sitting down and being like, cool, like, what do you love? Like, what are you really into? Like, what's your wildest fantasy? Right. And you have to do it in a way where it's non-judgmental and you're not going to use it against each other in a negative way. Right. Which is sometimes can be challenging.
Yeah.
You know, this concept of like, oh, well, if you like that, then you're a whatever. It's like, well, that's not fair. Right. If you really are into someone and you want to explore the boundaries of what you can experience together and push yourselves in this regard, then you have to come in with an open mind. What I have found is that, generally speaking, women are much more open about having these types of conversations than men are. Men can be a little bit closed off sometimes. Mm-hmm. Men are, in general, like, we have a lot of value and self-worth that's tied to our penis.
Right.
And it's tied to our capacity to perform. It's just a thing.
If we tell y'all it's not going well, that's super offensive.
We get very offended.
Yeah.
And it may not be a big deal, but it's like, it's literally the most sensitive topic you could possibly approach with a guy.
Yeah.
Possibly broach with a guy is his penis and his performance capacity, right?
Yeah.
Which is like, and so, you know, men, we're affected by, you know, size, by look, by appearance, you know, of that region of our body, how well we know what we're doing, right, or not doing. We don't want to admit that we don't really know what we're doing, but we also were never taught. So it's like, well, how are you expected to know anything if you never actually learned? But you're learning from porn, which is teaching you all the wrong things. So it's like you're in the situation where like you've never had proper education around it. So you're not expected to know. But as a culture, as men, we're like, yeah, we're supposed to know how to do that stuff. Well, if you don't have a master teaching you, right? Like, then how do you learn?
Right.
Right. You know, so having a conversation and creating a space where it's like, cool, like, let's just throw some ideas up on the table. Like, have you ever tried this? And like, go to ChatGPT and say, like, what are the list of kinks? And you can print it out. And then you'd be like, cool, are you into that? Or like, would you want to try that? And just go through it and be like, great, let's try that. Or getting some positions or like something like that, getting a book. And it's like, oh, that's a cool position. Let's try that.
Mm-hmm.
And just like having that conversation where it's about exploration. It's not about one partner doing worse or better. It's about, let's explore, right? And again, like I talked about, we scratch the surface of our sexual capacity, right? Like kinks, fetishes, and BDSM, like people kind of know about that. But what about just like trying different positions, right? That are outside of like the normal range, right?
Like, or like eye contact.
Exactly.
Like it could be something really simple.
Right. It doesn't need to be even penetrative, right?
You're
talking about a lot of this stuff in Tantra is like, it's eye contact.
Right.
It's breathing. It's matching your breathing. It's, you know, it's just holding parts of each other's bodies. It's spooning. It's just being, you know, having skin to skin contact for long periods of time so you can feel connected to somebody else. It's about creating intimacy. So there's that whole like before, during, and after, right? Thing that I talked about before. So I think that's where it is. And as a woman, the best, so I get a lot of feedback from women like, you know, I talked to my partner about some of your content and it was super well received and he really enjoyed, you know, hearing about it. And now we're trying this new stuff. I'm like, that's amazing. How did you do it? Right? Like, what was your approach? What was your strategy? And a lot of them say, I started out sharing something with him that he's really good at.
Yeah.
Right?
It's the sandwich technique.
And then I said, here's some things that I'd love to explore with you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so it's your language and the situation and the tone and all that sort of stuff is so important with a guy. You have to remember, men men can be quite sensitive.
I actually think men are more sensitive than women.
Probably, especially in this area.
In this area,
right?
Maybe.
Like,
okay, yeah.
We appear as this like, you know, bravado, whatever, this and that, like out in the world doing things. But like this area is... it's super, super, super hyper sensitive. And so you just have to go through it with sort of like kid gloves and just being really kind, really compassionate, really supportive, stroking the ego. Even if he's not that good at stuff, you just got to stroke the ego anyway. So you got to put a little bit of work into it to make him feel like he feels safe.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to feel safe.
That's
he needs
fair.
To feel confident in his skills, in his body image, in his capacity to use his wand, et cetera, all that stuff, right?
Right.
When he feels safe, and he doesn't feel like, you know, he's being attacked or less than or not good, then he'll be much more responsive. That's what I found.
Yeah. I mean, that makes the sandwich technique for anyone listening. That's what you learn in therapy. It's like you start with a good, you say the hard thing, and then you do another good at the end.
Yeah.
And it's so much easier as a human to just receive information that way, I think.
Exactly.
We don't take it personal as much.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of the feedback that I get anytime we talk about sex on this podcast is from people in long-term relationships just saying, like, I feel like I'm so disconnected from my partner, or like what you've said a couple times where you just get in the space of going through the motions. Like, you know how to get each other off. You do the same positions every time to do that, to get to that outcome. And that's just really boring after time. So do you have a way that you teach people to approach it if they are far along in that spot? And I guess that's kind of what you just said, but like, is there more to it than
it's a good question. So I think the reality is you need to make time for non-goal oriented sex.
Okay.
Right. So if the goal is usually like, okay, cool, she gets off, he gets off, etc., we do the same types of things, that should be 50% of your sexual activity. But the other 50% should be like non-goal oriented. Let's explore. Right, let's explore with each other. Let's try this thing. Let's try that thing. Taking time, either going on a trip or a staycation or something which changes the scenery, right? If you have children, you got to get out of the house.
Yeah.
Because children, when women are in the house, they're not going to be that same sexual way. They're in mom mode, right? And the dad's in dad mode.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like finding time away from your typical environment. So it's about changing the percentage of like goal-oriented sex into more exploratory experiences. It's changing your environment. Right. And it's changing sort of your attitudes about what it is that you're doing. And, you know, I think that's usually the best thing to do.
Okay.
Is just like, oh, cool, like, let's try something new. We're getting into this staleness. And being really comfortable with each other saying, hey, we're kind of in this rut and let's both work on changing it, mm-hmm. right? Because you're together for a reason, right? You want to be together, hopefully moving forward. So what are the things that you can do in order to spice things up?
Okay.
You know, and then really diving into like, what are you both like? Like, you know, pretending you both don't know each other and you're picking each other up for the first time at a bar. I mean, there's so many things that you can do,
yeah.
right? You know, yeah. So I would say that's a, you know, it's, I mean, some people do it through like doing swinging, which is another subject where there's other people involved. But I think that if you're keeping the container of your partnership sacred and that's not for you, then, I mean, it takes work. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot of effort. You know, the relationship takes effort. The sexual part of it takes a lot of effort, you know, and it can also get hindered if, you know, guys are having experience with not being able to function as well as they get older. Right.
Right.
And so that's like, so if they don't function as well, they're going to avoid having sex. If they don't function well, they're not going to want to initiate and engage because they're like nervous about their ability to perform. And
yeah,
so,
that makes so much
coming
sense.
To,
yeah.
coming to your partner and being like, you know, hey, I need to work on this. Like, this is something I want. And like, the partner needs to be incredibly compassionate, right? Because mm-hmm. most guys aren't going to come up and be like, hey, I'm having ED. What do I do? They're going to hide it.
Of course. Talk about shame.
It.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
And,
yeah.
And I have a tremendous amount of compassion for guys in that space because
sure.
it's not a fun place to be,
mm-mm.
you know? And again, you have to remember, like, you know, the man only has one sexual part.
Right.
And if that doesn't work, like, how does that make him feel?
Mm-hmm.
Right. It leaks into every aspect of his life. It causes depression. You know, ED causes depression. I mean, it's because you're like, wow, if this is my life force, this is like where my energy source is and it's not working properly, this makes me feel terrible. Right. And so women need to also understand that, like, that's the source of their power. And if that source of power is not functioning the way it's supposed to, it's going to affect every aspect of their life.
To yeah. me, it's equatable to like a woman with fertility issues
yeah.
because that's the thing that we're supposed to be able to do,
mm-hmm.
you know? And then when you can't, it feels, I would think it would feel similar. So if
yeah.
any women are listening, I think that's a really good comparison. I have to touch on this because I saw it on your Instagram and I need to know about this. You say tips for like keeping it sexy if you're in a relationship for women, do not get undressed in front of your man unless you're having sex. But tell me about that, because if you live with someone, how is that possible?
Well, two bathrooms is helpful.
Okay.
For his and hers bathroom.
Okay.
The higher level point that I make is the less familiarity you can have with your partner in terms of their sexual and the sexual realm, the more turn on there's going to be.
Okay.
So
yeah,
that's like, that's just the thesis, right?
Well,
and
that
so
makes sense.
If you're like brushing your teeth while your wife's going to the bathroom and you're seeing, anyway, it just becomes this familiarity thing
yeah.
and it becomes less novel. And for the guy and the dopamine response, like, it's just less novel.
Yeah.
Right? He's always seeing his partner naked or this or that. So I always say, like, you know, if you can, right, try different things. That's just one of the things that I say, like, keep it separate, keep it private, keep it sacred. You know, when you're, you know, don't go to the bathroom in front of your partner,
mm-hmm.
right? Don't brush your teeth. These sort of mundane everyday things that just make you more human. Like, what if your partner only saw you when you were, I mean, aside from being sick, again, it's just an example.
Yeah.
But like, what if your partner only saw you like dressed, sexy, whatever it is, right? If you're living with someone, you have kids, it's obviously not going to happen.
Right.
But try to create as much of that as you can.
That makes sense, though, because it's like the beginning of your relationship, which
mm-hmm.
people are always so much more sexually excited in, it
exactly.
seems.
Okay.
Exactly.
But I think having his and hers bathrooms is a huge one.
Yeah.
As like, just as a general. So
yeah.
Like that, like, you can, if you want to get dressed in front of your partner, you can. But, you know, I have a friend of mine who told me this about a woman who's married to a gentleman. They've been married for like 15 years. She's never gotten changed in front of him once. And they
really?
Have an incredible sex life. They're super vibrant. Like, they keep it super separate.
Interesting.
And it, you know, but they also don't have kids. But
yeah.
It's, it, you know, children obviously changes things too. And you see people in very different ways, but it's just sort of like, how do we fight that familiarity?
Yeah.
Right? What are the little things that we can do that create some separation there?
Yeah.
Create the novelty and the sex.
Keep it sexy.
Yeah.
I hope you guys enjoyed part one of my conversation with Jackson Hightower of Natural Jackson. He will be back on The Edge episode this Friday, answering all of your questions, including how to overcome ED without Viagra. He also addressed a woman who is struggling to have an orgasm with her partner, and also just how to approach and have those conversations with your partner to really build the sex life that you want. Check it out this Friday on The Edge.
Thanks for listening to the Velvet's Edge podcast with Kelly Henderson, where we believe everyone has a little velvet and a little edge. Subscribe for more conversations on life, style, beauty, and relationships. Search Velvet's Edge wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets,
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.